Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God, and I thank you so much for this wonderful privilege. And so, Father, as we get back into the Word concerning how to handle the cares and the stresses of life, Father, may these words be a blessing to all the ears of the listeners, and Father, may the lips be anointed to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we covered the area that when you're in unfavorable circumstances or when you're in a position of a test or trial, one of the things that is required of us is to act in faith. Now, one thing that you've got to understand about faith is not a Christian argument. Faith is not a Christian argument. Faith is a way of life. It's a Bible principle of life. It's not according to church history whether we like the message of faith or not. But actually, faith is a living reality to an unseen realm. And whether we like it or not, whether it's the basic understanding of how to get saved, or whether it's the fullness, the hundredfold return of the Word of God in your life, all of it stems around the fact of the operation of faith. Now, many of us are not void of tests and trials of life, unfavorable circumstances. If you are one of those that are 100% delivered, let us know and you will get the pulpit free of charge. Praise God. We would want to know how you've escaped so mightily and freely. Hallelujah. But one of the things that we want to talk about here this morning is kind of go over again and reiterate what was covered last Sunday for you to get it down on the inside of you. And I want to make a clarity. The things that we're going to touch on today is the very things that a person needs to do or to operate in to get a return on the things that God has promised them. And so even if you've heard this, it really would behoove you to pay attention this morning, because these principles must be applied in order for your success in unfavorable circumstance. The Bible says you'll go through the fire, but you'll not be burnt. You'll go through the waters, but they will not overtake you. And you know, you have to understand that. When God is a part of your life, you have victory in your life. When God is a part of your life, you have victory in your life. If you have constant failure, then it is not the problem is not with God. The problem is with you and how you're acting on the Word of God. The Word of God is active, alive, it's living, and it's full of energy. It's powerful to produce what it's put to. But the thing is, it has to come alive in you. The letter itself won't do anything. If that was the case, then just because you got a Bible, you'll succeed. And that's not true at all. The Bible has to get in on the inside of you for the Bible to succeed. Praise God. And so one of the things that we're going to look at today again is we're going to get over to Hebrews chapter 10 again and look at verse 35 again. We talked about faith as an operation that has to be understood in order for you to have any form of victory in your life. So in Hebrews chapter 10, I want us to go to verse 35. And I want to cover this area again to make sure that I've got it real clear about what happens in unfavorable circumstances, what we can do and what we can steer away from to make sure that we succeed. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But if we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the possession of the soul. And we brought out that the word saving here is actually in the Greek, possession. Now hold your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 6 again. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to again clarify what Paul the writer was saying, that when you have an enemy that's coming against you, what he told us to do. First of all, he says, for we wrestle, verse 12, Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wicked in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the word for word here in verse 17 is rhema. It's actually a believer speaking the Word of God. And so we know that one of the weapons of the warfare is speaking or saying something out of your mouth, releasing your faith, releasing what you believe. Now, we talked a little bit about the Shunammite woman, and it was very interesting that she maintained the word that she had received from the prophet, or eventually God. We also brought out how she took the son and put him into that place that she had prepared for the prophet to make sure that she ministered and cared for him, because she wanted to go back to the very fact that you're the one that spoke God's word to give me this child, and the enemy, we'll just call it the enemy, is not going to take my son because you, the man of God, had spoken it and I had received it. You know, a lot of us, we got to be careful. When God speaks His Word, He intends for us to have the full recipient of that. We'll cover that in a minute. And so, you know the story. She went to the man of God, and she maintained her confession right up until she got really to his face. And then the Bible says she fell down, and she was sore vexed in her soul. Notice, she was obedient. She didn't let flesh and blood stop her, but she possessed. She did what? She took possession of what her soul was thinking and stayed true to the course of what God had said. You see, a lot of times when we're in unfavorable circumstances of life, one of the things that the enemy loves to do is bring accusations against you. And usually, if you haven't noticed it by now, it's usually in areas that you've failed your life. You know, there's one area that you have to take possession of your soul. You're prone to mistakes. You miss the mark with God. Are you following me? But each day is a new day of commitment for you. You don't have to wait till New Year's Day to make a commitment. You can have it done every morning that you get up and it's fresh. But along with that comes a responsibility of God being able to get into your life and make changes so that you'll be able to succeed. So every day, give us this day our daily bread. You see, it's a daily thing that we walk with God. It isn't a weekly, it isn't a monthly. By the way, time's going so fast now. I don't know whether it's big 6-0 that I walk in or what it is. But I'll tell you what, it's almost down to, it seems like even a year is a day. You know, because time's traveling so fast. But notice, in the Greek, it's worded a little differently. Literally, in the Greek, it says, and having brought everything to an ultimate conclusion of victory, remain standing in it. Now, again, I want to point out, your armor is not some suit that you put on physically. He's talking about the armor that protects your mind. See, the enemy attacks your mind. Circumstances attack your mind. People attack your mind, the way you think. Now, if you're one of those persons that's so easily offended, I'll pray for you if you want me to. Hallelujah. But our mind is a focal point of which Satan goes after. He wants to get us to give up our confidence in what God has spoken to us. Now, notice he said, having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. Which implies that if you don't do all that is necessary to stand, you'll give ground. You'll give ground. And you know, whether you realize it or not, Satan really doesn't take notice on a believer until he gets involved or centered around God. Then he'll take note of you. My Bible tells me in Mark 4, when the word's sown and you hear it, he comes immediately. Now you can have faith in that. Why? Because we got Bible on it. He comes. But thank God we have a place of protection against him. Now, I want to remind you of something. Well, I'll be getting ahead of myself. Notice, having brought everything to that ultimate conclusion. That is what the Greek actually means there. Not just a standing and enduring, because you have to identify how are you enduring? How are you being patient about this? If you're just looking for a lotto bailout, you're not standing in faith. You've got to, you know, faith is not a blind leap into nothing. Faith is a calculated step out on the Word of God that has been given us. You see, it's a deliberate act. It's a choosing to have trust in God. It is not a Christian argument. It is not. It's a fact. God's word is fact. And he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says that if you do not have faith in his ability to reward you, then his soul cannot find a pleasing place for where you're at. Hebrews 10, let's go back there. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You know, notice he says, cast not away. You know what this implies? It implies a dependent and conditional concept or thought of something. A conditional concept or thought of something. When I go to John, I say, John, don't you cast away your confidence. You know what that means? Everything will work, providing you don't do that one thing. Cast away your confidence. You know what that implies? It implies you can do that. Whether any of us realize that we're in unfavorable circumstances of life, one thing that you need to realize, and again, I'll use the term have faith in this, you can have faith that you have the ability to cast away your confidence. Boy, it gets quiet in here. Have you ever been in an unfavorable circumstance and then you grab the Word of God and you start quoting it? Have you ever thought, I never did when I was under the pressure, I never thought that I had the ability to cast away my confidence. Why? Because I just suddenly ended up doing it. Very subtly, I just end up doing it. Now, if I get into a place where I'm operating on the Word of God to receive a promise, then I have to have this one understanding. I cannot cast away my confidence in what I'm doing. I cannot cast away my confidence in what I'm doing. You know, 99.9% of the time when people come and they want prayer for something they're already standing in faith for, I always ask them this one thing. When did you receive? When did you receive? I had a lady stand here and tell me. Now, I know healings for today. I know that I've been healed. Why am I being healed? I just don't understand it. I know that healing belongs to me. Why don't I get healed? And I said, when did you receive your healing? And she says, well, I said, you received your healing predicated on the basis that God's Word said that healing belonged to you. You also received your healing because you're a Christian? Or do you have a point in time in which you've exercised your faith for endurance to operate
So you'll last a long time in what you've already activated your faith for. So therefore, you must have a point in time, punctiliar, that you received your healing. What time was it? And she fell right down on the floor right here. And she said there was an anointing that came all over her. It dawned on her. She hadn't received it yet. She thought it was right, but didn't receive it, didn't petition it. And she fell down on the power and she started burning all over her body because she got a revelation, I can receive it right now. She got it. Right there in front of me. And I said, make sure she's okay. And then they gave a report and she wrote me a letter. I still got the letter in my desk. I love it. Pull it out and read it every once in a while. She got the revelation right there. You know, a lot of us come up for prayer. And none of us have an inkling of what we're doing. We don't even take no. I ask people, when you know what time it is? What's the date today? What time is it? You know, because I'm constantly reminded, you got to have a point in which you receive something. I'm just waiting for somebody to come up here and say, Pastor, after hearing your message and after getting a revelation of the Word of God, I want you to know that January 30th, 2005, I have just now, at 11:40 or whatever it is, I just now got a revelation of receiving what belongs to me. I just wanted to let you know, come into agreement with me now, what I've already received. Instead, you're looking for a validation that, yeah, what I said is right. You know, it's something for you to think about. No, it's God's Word that says that you're responsible for your own life and authority and how to appropriate it. Go for it. Now, notice he says, cast not away something that you could do. Your confidence. The word confidence means freedom and frankness in speaking openly and boldly without constraint. Do you know that I can be bold in some things that I know about the Word of God, but I have constraint on my words with some people because they wouldn't receive it. I would create more of a fight in them than I would of freedom. So there is a time when I will utter the fullness of God's Word, and there are times when I will not. But I got news for you. When I'm in a stressful situation and it looks like that this flame could burn me or this water can drown me, I got news for you. I don't care whether anybody is in agreement with me or not. If God's Word said it, I will appropriate it so that I'll come out of what I'm in. I don't care whether you agree with it or not. Amen. Faith is a very personal, individual, personal thing. Your faith is not dependent on whether I agree with it or not. Your faith is dependent upon whether God's in agreement with it or not. He's the one that gives it the increase. Glory to God. Well, you have no idea. You cannot believe that because we've got the witness of people that love God. And because they love God, they didn't succeed. You're just being foolish. Let the witness of anyone be a lie, but let God's Word be truthful. You're trying to get me to cast away my freedom, my rights, my boldness, my confidence to speak what God says I have a right to speak on. Don't you categorize me with some political issue here. I don't care if the whole church goes down the tube. I'm not going to, as long as I maintain the Word of God, because I'm going to let God be true and let you guys work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm working my puppy out right here. Hallelujah. I'm leaving the donkeys behind. Hallelujah. Now cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Great recompense. Most of us go in there and we're exercising our faith and we sure hope this thing will come out right. I hope it'll work itself out.
I'm going to give you a secret that settles my mind every time I read it. The 23rd Psalm. Because I understand that Psalm. Are you ready? Which has great recompense. You know what recompense means? It literally means remuneration. A gift or a reward in recognition of a service rendered. In other words, this is what he's saying. For the action taken to deserve the reward. For the action taken to deserve the reward. Did you know that when you get a hold of what God wants for you in unfavorable circumstances, situations in life, if you do the procedure that is necessary for your faith to work, you have a great recompense of that reward. What you'll benefit from it. What is it? They'll get out of the thing. Oh, look at this. Recompense of reward. For ye, 26 compliments 35, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And here again, after you have done the will of God. What does that mean? You've taken possession of your soul. Hallelujah. Why? You've done all to stand. You've done everything it takes in your thinking to stand in the evil day. Glory to God. Glory to God. But it says, after he had done the will of God. The will of God, doing the will of God, is your recompense. Doing the will of God. Oh, I know that's what the Bible says, brother. Oh, I know what the Bible says, sister. But so and so. I don't find that in my word. But so and so. Matter of fact, I quoted over there in 1 John chapter 5 to somebody once. I said, I'm going to let God be true and every man's witness a lie. Because I had that slapped on me one time in one of the churches I attended. I said, I don't know their heart. I don't know where to go. And I found out afterwards the person they were using, behind the church's back, he was into pornography and alcohol. You can't trust where people are at, people. So therefore, you cannot trust their witness. Because if their witness proved a lie against the Word of God, then I'll let God be true and let them be the liar, not God's Word. You don't know where people are at. Sin is in darkness. You don't know where their heart is. They might have sin against God in their heart. You don't know. Because faith is an operation of your heart. Hallelujah. Now notice this. It says that you might receive. Maybe you will, you maybe you won't. Why? Because you might cast away. Therefore your confidence. I like the word receive the promise. You know, when you act on the Word of God in unfavorable situations in life, you know what you're doing? Are you ready? When you take the Word of God and you are acting on it, you are on legal grounds to receive. Did you know that? Because the word promise is literally a legal term for summons. A summons to do or to give something. So when you stand on a summons that you have gotten from God, us Christians, we trust more in the court system when they give you a summons than when God gives you a summons. Boy, you ever get one of them letters in the mail? I got one once. I didn't respond to this jury duty thing. So when I got one in the mail, I never responded, and then I get another one in the mail. This is a summons to let you know we have a warrant for your arrest. What did I ever do? So they gave me a phone number there to give them a call. So I called them and I said, no, I don't mind being a jury duty guy or whatever it is you want. I said, I'll go do it. I just don't want to go to jail. So then I went down and went through the process. I ended up with Chuck, who's part of the music, the choir, Chuck Stottlemyre. He was down there, and we both sat there for hours. Jury duty is not a... You have to be summoned. No, shut up, Jim. But when you get a summons, that literally means they're going to do something, or they're going to give you something. Well, that's what he's referring here, that you might receive the promises. You see, you don't realize that when you're standing on the Word of God, you're on legal grounds with God. It will come to pass. You can trust Him. He's the ultimate judge. Now, He didn't send His Word void of accomplishing where it was sent to accomplish it. Praise God. He means business, what He's talking about. A lot of us don't realize it. Now, notice. For yet a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And again, well, I want to quote verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is what He says He is. He is what He says He is. Now, I know a lot of us doubt that and everything, and we're talking on obedience last Sunday night. We're going to go more into obedience tonight. And a lot of people, I got feedback that it sure opened them up to understanding what obedience is about. Listen, when you don't even have an understanding of faith working in your heart, if you will be obedient, that is equal to faith. But obedience is not words, it's action. It's a powerful thing when you think about it. So he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently pursue Him. A lot of us, we don't diligently pursue God, but we want our faith to work, even though we haven't diligently sought Him. That ain't going to happen, Jack. You ain't going to have the boldness. You're not going to have the endurance, the confidence that you need to last the term of the trial. Until you learn how to trust Him in everything. Sellout time. Now, you know what? I quote this psalm every day. I shared this one time with a brother, and he looked at me like, my gosh, don't you have any confidence in God? That you'd have to quote the 23rd psalm. I'm going to tell you, life has its pressures. But I'll tell you what, there are specific places in my Bible I go to rest this sucker. And 23rd Psalm is one of them. So you turn over 23rd Psalm. I got 10 minutes to share with you what this psalm is all about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right there, the first verse disqualifies for this psalm to be used at a funeral. If you're in the grave, you ain't got no more want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And that's not talking about a coffin. He leadeth me. Beside still waters. If you're on the other side, you're beside still waters, brother. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're talking about the stress, the cares of life. And this is no better place to go when you're under pressure. When you don't feel like life is presenting itself in a favorable manner. Some Christians seem to think that when they got their Christian baptismal certificate on there, it should read, "Now I will reap the fruits of a good deal out of life." life will treat me honorably. If that's your thinking, you need to come again. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, the Christians know the Lord, but He's not shepherding them. He's not shepherding them. Why? Because He really isn't their Lord, even though they're bought with a price. First of all, the Lord has to shepherd your life. He has to be the one over you. Now, some of you might think He is, but your actions and your direction in life doesn't prove it. So that is the major step there. And I shall not want. It means that if He is your shepherd, He is going to see to it that you will not become weary and faint in life. He'll see to it that you'll not give up, but you'll have a boldness and a strength. Why? Well, first of all, He's your shepherd. Hallelujah. There's something to say about Jesus being your shepherd. He maketh me. Oh, I like that. He maketh me to lie down. But when you know, now I'm going to share something with you. Notice what He says. He makes you to lie down. That'll give you direction right away. In unfavorable circumstances of life where you could get weary and faint, your shepherd will make you lie down. Lie down in green pastures. You know what? You ever see a bunch of sheep when the wolf comes around? Huh? John, you know a little bit about sheep. The sheep even get a little unrestful when the sheepdog comes around. They don't realize them sheepdogs are to help their ignorance. Many times. But sheep, listen, when they have a shepherd, the first thing that shepherd's going to make them sheep understand, he's there to protect them, even though danger might be near. Hallelujah. Even though you might be in unfavorable circumstances. Hallelujah. He does one thing. He makes you. He makes you rest. Whoo! It says lie down. It means rest. That goes with Hebrews chapter 4. He says that when you're operating in a completed work that has done by your Redeemer, then guess what? You only have the day of Sabbath to be concerned about, which is your rest. Your shepherd will make you rest in green pastures or pastures of tender grass. In other words, He will give you something that will cause you to rest, which is His word. Now listen, He leadeth me beside still waters. I just want to say something about green pastures. God's not interested in nomads. You find a home and you get under an under shepherd. And that's part of those green pastures. Right. Providing that shepherd is under the Word of God. Right. Hallelujah. He leadeth me beside still waters. Peaceful, restful, comfortable place with plenty of supply of what you need. Right. Have you ever been to churches where it's full of turmoil all the time? Strife, church splits. The sheep are unrestful. That's the way the devil likes to do it. He likes to come in through wolves. Because wolves, what? Stress the sheep. Upsets them. They can't rest. I like this one. He restoreth my soul. You know what this word literally means in Hebrew? It means He turns around your way of thinking. He restores the right way of thinking for you. Now listen. Right after that, notice, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And listen, you're one of them sheep. Listen, that if He's doing these things, are you ready? He will lead you in ways that is the right way to do something because you are establishing your shepherd's nature and character in this earth. Now notice this. He goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This word for valley means literally a narrow place. Of the shadow of death, it means like there's no way out. It means like you can't turn. There are not too many directions to turn. Listen, this word for death here is terror, calamity, a dark place of uncertainty. I like Psalms 139. When David said, when I am that in that dark place of distress and discouragement, I don't mean a hill of beans to God. Well, he didn't say hill of beans, but I'm paraphrasing it. Light and darkness are alike to Him. It doesn't impair Him. God's not impaired by your unfavorable condition or circumstance. God is still light. Whether it's light and dark, He's still light. He'll still give you guidance. He'll still give you a place to go. Now notice this. He says, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I hope He's with you. I hope you're not so backslid you can't even see straight. Now notice this. For Thou art with me. Your presence in me. We're hooked together. Because Thy rod and Thy staff. Isn't this interesting? Thy rod and Thy staff. I would have loved the staff part. But the rod I don't think I really care much for. The rod here is of correction. Now listen. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod of correction and Thy staff of support and protection and sustenance, they cover. They comfort me. That means Your compassion is a part of my life. Glory to God. Thou preparest. It means to arrange and put in order a meal table before my face. In the presence of mine enemies. Glory to God. People, there again, the promises of God is your sustenance, your meal. In the presence of the enemy. Now notice this. This is where people really get this one fouled up. Thou anointest my head with oil. He's not talking about your head. He's talking about the head of your life. Your authority, which is Jesus. Thou anointest my authority, or the one that is appointed as my authority, is what it means in the Hebrew, with oil, my cup runneth over. What's he saying there? That oil is not contained. It runs over. It runs over what? Your head has a supply of anointing that has no end. Now notice this. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now tell me that psalm isn't one of comfort. If He is my authority. And He has been anointed to be my head. Then where is my fear going to come from? Because He is my shepherd. Did you guys get something here tonight? Well, this is all predicated on might receive. Most of us are so busy trying how to believe not to trust God rather than to believe how to trust God. Now, that 23rd Psalm is not a psalm for funerals. It's a psalm you need to give a new believer. These principles will work for you right here. Stand up, everybody. So, Pastor, could you clarify, simplify, what six sermons you were trying to say? Yeah, under pressure, possess your soul.
Yep.
Believe and trust in God. Now, if you put yourself into the problem, enjoy. Better throw that in there. If you put yourself into the problem, enjoy. Tonight, I'm going to share some real interesting things. About where Christians can get in their life, a point in their life, where obedience is not even going to be a factor. Literally, they begin to abort their own spirituality. There's a point in every one of our lives. I'm going to show you how to recognize that point. Some Christians don't recognize it. So tonight, it'll be a very interesting message. Oh, Rodney, by the way. You invited me to the Super Bowl Sunday to your house, right? Yeah. Cough up. Who are you rooting for? Is it going to be New England or is it going to be Philadelphia? New England? Is that where you're for, New England? Okay, I might come. Hallelujah. Amen. The other half of the church is probably believing for New England. The other half is probably believing for Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Yay, New England. I got news for you. Don't pray. You'll be praying against each other. Let the game come out as it will. Yeah. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know New England's going to win. No. The prayers availeth much. I know Philadelphia's going to win. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for the victory that is spelled out in our life. Every one of us ought to wear a shirt with a big V on it. Hallelujah. Because that's Bible. Victory. Victory. And so, Father, today, as I've shared the Word with your people, may they take a hold of it, and may it give value to their life. May it give instruction to their life. And, Father, may the promises of you give great rewards, like your Word says it does. Only, Father, work on our patience, the endurance, the stamina that we need, that is necessary for those promises to manifest and come forth. So, Father, today as we close this service, if there be anybody here, oh, that came to church today, that maybe have heard about you, but have never really had a personal encounter with you. Maybe this morning you did speak to their hearts. Maybe right now they're right in the midst of meeting you. And Father, if they would like to be saved and brought into the kingdom of God, we want to make room for them to come right on in. Resign their citizenship here and become a citizen of heaven. And Father, there are those here that are believers that have distanced themselves, backslid, quit fellowshipping with you. Got caught up in the affairs of life, been offended, hurt, whatever. And after this morning, you spoke to their hearts to get back into that place and that presence of you. Father, according to the 23rd Psalm, that He leadeth me, that signifies the sheep that's in the midst of their shepherd, the presence of their shepherd. And so if you want to come on back into full fellowship, we'll make a place for you. If you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues speaking in that heavenly language to give witness to that baptism, then we want to lay hands on you and see to it you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're here as a believer and you've had a hard time, you've been struggling, and you have been bouncing in and out, and the message spoke to you today to get your petition out, get your date set for today, the time it is now, and receive that healing and get on with it so you will not be hindered on your job, in the church, with your family, with your children. Sickness, disease will flee from you. Hallelujah. And not rob you anymore of the fullness of what you need in life. Money, friends, family. Hallelujah. Because it says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So with that in mind, when I dismiss this church service, hallelujah.